Good morning,
Hello.
everybody.
Hello, hello.
Hello, Sheldon.
Hey, Scott, how are you?
Very good. How are you today on this fine Saturday morning?
Feeling better, been a little sick for the week, but I'm here.
I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, there's been a lot of nasty stuff floating around in the atmosphere affecting a lot of people getting sick.
For sure, for sure.
But
But
I'm
this
glad
is
you're
show number
joining
three,
us.
right? Yeah.
This is show number three. Yeah.
Here
Time flies.
we go.
Seems like yesterday we were doing this, talking to each other over the ethers.
Yeah.
Sheldon down in California.
And you're up in Seattle?
That's right.
Awesome. And should we just get into this thing or what?
I think so. I think, yeah, we'll just start by
There's a lot to
saying
talk about.
lots to talk about. Today's show topic is going to be all about the metaphysics of the course, or how the course really explains, our universe, our reality, which to me was really comforting and reassuring, and really helped blow things open for me. It kind of solved the question of what's the meaning of life,
Kind of pulls the rug out from you.
and it does that too, yeah, which it does from throughout the book.
Sure.
Yep.
So we were going to start with reading a quote, right?
Yeah. Do you have a quote picked out for today?
I do. And it's kind of sort of in keeping with our topic about the metaphysics of the course. So here we go. It's on page 51 if you're reading Foundation for Inner Peace, chapter 3, section 7, paragraph 5, sentence 6. It says, "Your starting point is truth, and you must return to your beginning. Much has been since then, but nothing has really happened. Yourself is still in peace, even though your mind is in conflict. You have not yet gone back far enough, and that is why you have become fearful. As you approach the beginning, you feel the fear of the destruction of your thought system upon you as if it were the fear of death. There is no death, but there is a belief in death."
Another great reminder from this is from the text, right?
Yeah, that's from the text.
Yeah, it's amazing to me how every time you can either hear someone read or read it for yourself, and just I always hear new information, or maybe it's just at a different, deeper level.
Yeah, levels, I think, of knowing and getting stuff. So you read it over and over again. So, what do you have?
So mine is very simple. I'm in this, I think, a mode just because I've been probably at work a lot. In fact, I have to go back right after this. I like the keep it simple method, or I guess KISS, keep it simple. Well, some people add another S, the keep it simple, stupid part. But for me, some of these really short sentences or even the workbook lessons really land for me. And today, the one I chose was workbook lesson 185, which is simply, I want the peace of God.
Wow, there you go.
Can't be simpler than that. And that's what I love about the course for me, is that you can read really long sentences, which kind of helps maybe decouple some really complex things, or maybe that's what you're kind of going through. But then it's the really short things that are just so powerful to me, and just like, wow, it can be that simple. Like
And
if you
it's the
just
thing that you can carry with you throughout the day, too.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what I was just going to mention. Like, it just carrying something as simple as that. Because I know when I go back to where I'm working today, I'm going to carry that quote with me. And it's, I've been doing that a lot lately, and it's been making a huge difference, at least how
Yeah.
I feel at work. And quite honestly, maybe sometimes people around me will feel a little bit better, but I know that's not really the goal of what we're trying to do here.
It's all about healing.
Healing your mind.
Yeah.
And in the process, you probably will help heal other people's minds, but that's again not the goal of what you're doing as you practice the course, even
Right.
though it is a benefit that does seem to happen quite often. It's pretty
Right.
amazing.
It's absolutely what happens. But it's just a matter of direction, right? It's going in and healing within first and watching the effect of that on your surroundings rather than trying to change the surroundings.
Yep, exactly. And of course, we'll get into a lot more of that as we talk about, you know, the metaphysics of the course, which we'll do in a little bit here.
But we were going to do a meditation, right?
Do another one? Yeah. So I think what we'll be doing is we'll flip-flop. So last week, Sheldon, you gave a wonderful guided meditation. So this week I will do one. And I think, again, I don't know, I'm on this theme of, I think I want to demonstrate doing one that's fairly quick, because again, I think it's really useful to learn that you don't need to set aside, you know, some people are like, oh, I've been told I need to meditate for a half hour or an hour or even 10 minutes. And you don't really even need all that time. Sometimes just check, you know, popping in pretty quickly can create that connection.
Sure.
I'm not going to do something super short, but it'll be, you know, fairly quick, just so you get a sense of how you can connect in. And in this case, it'll probably be, you know, creating a connection with Holy Spirit and then allowing that to continue through the day.
Awesome.
All right. So just let folks get in a comfortable position. And I would recommend closing your eyes. And of course, if you're doing work or driving, we wouldn't advise you to do this meditation now, but to wait and do it later. But just go ahead and close your eyes and take a nice deep breath in and just let it out. Whatever, you know, tensions might have been held on, or if you're going through some things right now, just let it all out as you breathe deeply in and let it out. We'll do that a few times. Just breathe in. You can even start to imagine breathing in support from the Holy Spirit. Breathing out all the things, the tensions, the concerns that you have. Good. And just now in this state of being a lot more relaxed and open, just call in, again, this is the Comforter, the capital G guide, Holy Spirit. Just call that in to where you live, where your physical body seems to reside right now. Just notice if you see anything, hear anything, or feel anything, and just start to get a little bit more detailed about where you're noticing, what you're noticing. This is the way that you sense or see or imagine the Holy Spirit. And just imagine this presence of Holy Spirit coming in, and actually the energy or the sensation just kind of coming around your shoulders in the back. Just even if you could imagine hands on your shoulders, just sending you love and comfort and healing. Take a pause for yourself. If there's anything specific that you would like healing in your life, physical, mental, emotional, just ask for that for yourself now, knowing that there's nothing that you need to do, that all you need to do is hand this over to the Holy Spirit and know that you are the chosen son or daughter of God. And that this healing can come to you because you are practicing true forgiveness, because you know where you really are, which is at home in heaven with God. And that's all your mind needs to focus on to allow any healing to occur. Just enjoy the way that looks or feels. And just appreciate this connection that you've brought in today. Maybe you've experienced this before, or maybe this is your first time, but just know that this connection is always there, always present, and all you have to do is call it in or focus in on it and ask for help or have a conversation. And just know that this is always here. And that you can quickly connect with this energy, with the Holy Spirit, whenever you'd like. and know that your eyes don't have to be closed to do this. You can be going about anything in your life to have this connection and to have this help and guidance. Just take a moment more to be with this presence, the Holy Spirit, and enjoy. And again, know that this will always be here. And to allow this presence to essentially be your guide throughout the rest of the day. And just allow yourself to hand over any concerns, any fears, any aches and pains to the Holy Spirit, and know that they can be taken care of by just allowing. Good. And now just return your focus and attention back to your own body, and you can begin to open your eyes up and move your hands and feet around just to kind of get yourself back in. Good. Pretty simple, pretty quick.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That was great.
Whew.
Where am I?
Is there anything that you wanted to share, Sheldon, that you experienced or felt?
Just a beautiful energy and vibration that comes in whenever call the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. It anchors into my heart through the top of my head.
Mm.
And it just will actually vibrate and create a whole field. Mm. It's really nice.
Yeah. About how far out from your body do you think you feel that field is extended?
I don't know. Pretty far.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah, it goes. It feels like it gets bigger the more connected you get.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. How about you?
Well, it's interesting. I think today, because I was so focused on just kind of connecting with the energy, I guess I wasn't really paying too much attention, although it just feels really good to me. Mm-hmm. And I think if I were to do it on my own and maybe not have to do some of the facilitation, like I would probably experience it a bit deeper. But it, mm-hmm. I mean, the general feeling is just more, I just feel more peaceful. And
right.
Yeah, and anytime, at least for me, and I don't know about you, but like I just intentionally connect. It just feels really peaceful. Like all day this week, when I'm at work, I get called into situations, especially with what we're doing right now. We're trying to get through a pretty critical build of a part that we're doing. And, you know, we've told the team if there's anything that stops the activity or if we're having any problems, give one of the managers a call. So I get a call. And I used to kind of get all stressed out and be like, oh gosh, you know, what's going to happen? What are you going to encounter? Who's going to be mad? And now I just go, I'd rather see peace instead of this. And I kind of call on the Holy Spirit. And mm-hmm. as I'm walking over, I just feel a lot more peaceful. And lately, things seem to just work out really pretty easily lately.
Awesome.
I know, again, you're not supposed to expect things to change externally because it's nice just to feel peaceful. But it's also nice to see that peace can emanate out and actually have an impact to those around you.
Absolutely. Yep. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And then when you're in that state of peace, when you do have to make decisions, they're more clear.
Yeah.
You're receiving guidance in terms of not fear-based, you know, mm-hmm. but more just peaceful
mm-hmm.
Intuition. Guidance can come forward and come through, and then you'll have, you know, a better direction on how to handle whatever happens to be coming
yep.
at you, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Because I don't know about you, but I see definitely a lot of choices made, in the workplace and in people's personal lives just based purely out of fear. And then you just kind of watch a fear-based decision might lead to a mistake. And then another fear-based, it just kind of
sure.
turns into this, like quicksand condition where it just gets worse and worse and worse.
I mean, think about the whole expression of CYA, right?
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yep. How's that for fear-based, right?
Yep, exactly. If that's
Yeah. Nobody's really worried about actually fixing everything. They're just worried about, you know, protecting themselves.
Yeah.
Seeming selves, right? From a place of fear.
Yeah, it's that whole ego protection thing, right? And again, the metaphysics, you know, just projection outwards.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that definitely brings huge shifts, I think, because it's a completely different way of approaching any problem solving, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's seek first the kingdom within. That's what it is.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know, I feel like, and maybe we talked about this before, but I just feel more deeply, more and more, like I used to want to run away from a corporate job. And now I realize that maybe this is the best place to be, even though there is definitely insanity around. But it's like, well, what better place to practice forgiveness and A Course in Miracles than surrounded, you know, being in an environment like that. And especially if you can kind of be the center of the hurricane for a while, then mm-hmm. that's pretty cool.
Absolutely.
So my perspective's changed quite a bit.
Yeah, it's being the light of Christ, bringing that light in wherever you are. And
yeah,
you know, the JM teaching, which is a continuation of the course, talks about, you know, being the light of Christ and sweeping of the streets. You know, wherever you are, yep. whatever you happen to be doing,
yep,
that's where you are.
Exactly. And shifting, at least for me, and maybe some, I think there, I've already seen people are way better at this, but instead of what I used to do is see people get upset or tough situations, and my first instinct would be like, okay, I want to solve this right away so I can get out of this messiness, you know. And now it's just like, oh, great, another opportunity, and enjoy it rather than mm-hmm. try to push it away.
Becomes a fundamental shift in how you see everything that happens to you.
Right.
Everything yep. becomes a blessing.
Yep.
Yeah, that's cool. Huge stuff. All kinds yeah. of cool stuff going on.
Exactly.
Awesome.
So
that's
yeah,
kind of the same thing I'm doing, really. You know, it's the exact same thing. It's like
that's
bringing that peace into a chaotic work environment,
mm-hmm.
and yeah. seeing what it does.
Exactly. That's why I think, you know, it's pretty amazing how you and I both met, but then seeing how we're really kind of taking the, you know, what we're learning and applying it. That's why I have, you know, huge love and respect for you, because you've also been a teacher to me as well, and kind of have helped remind me of, oh yeah, why am I doing these things? Why do I go to work? Because I think you've been a real pathfinder, and you've been doing some pretty amazing things at even your workplace that just blows me away, Sheldon. And I know we sort of talked about it last time, but again, just, yeah, I just have huge Thanks. Respect for you. Just lots
cool.
of love.
Yep. I have a lot of love for you too, respect for you too. It's cool. We're just, you know, we're just both doing our own work, and it's always about, you know, looking inside in ourselves, right?
Yep. And I know there's, yeah, other people out there that are probably experiencing similar things, I would
sure.
imagine, and maybe they're resonating with this if they are out there. So I'll just remind people that as we get into the show, if there's anybody out there that's either has some comments or resonating with what we talked about and want to just phone in with something on the top of your head, you can call us at 888-627-6008.
You can actually call.
you can do it. Rotary phone, digital phone, it all works.
Whatever, right?
Yep. All right. So how about we get into the meat of this show's topic, which is the metaphysics of A Course in Miracles.
Here we go.
Here we go. So, hey, Sheldon, how do you understand the metaphysics of the Course?
First, I have to figure out what that means. What is metaphysics? But still haven't figured that out.
It's the study of physics.
The study.
That's like the true, that whenever someone throws meta at the beginning of a word, it means the study of. I learned that in school.
Oh, okay, cool.
And that
cool.
that helped me, because there's like yeah. meta theory. So it's like right. the study of theory, or you, I guess so. You could say the theory of theory.
Okay, okay. So what is this, the metaphysics of A Course in Miracles? boy, how do you start with that one? You want to start?
Sure. Why not? For me, especially after reading, again, I'll go back and huge thanks to Gary Renard, The Disappearance of the Universe, and the two Ascended Masters that came to visit him, and which really helped flip on my pilot light to get me to really understand the Course in Miracles a lot more, is a lot of it was because of how they explained our universe and how it was created and how the ego was created. And I think it's a very simple story, which is, and I know there's areas where people want to analyze and try to go, well, why did that happen or how did that happen? But I know that there really is no explanation other than we are a collective one. We still are. We're at home with God in heaven. But for some reason, there is a tiny mad idea to create separately. And I guess you could say that was the instance of the Big Bang. And not necessarily that it was a direct creation of our universe, but it was a spark that started a separation, which then started basically, I guess there was a separation and sort of like maybe when you are in a nice warm car and you jump out in freezing cold and you go, oh my gosh, what did I do? And instead of getting back into the car, which is this warm, beautiful place in heaven, we freaked out and we're like, oh my God, we did something bad and we ran away. Or we thought we ran away. And so we created a hiding spot by splintering and becoming this ego, this really pretty crazed ego that has been looking for ways to hide from God for what appears to be billions of years for us. And that's just our universe. I feel that, you know, there is this, you know, dualistic metaphysics that says there's probably multiple universes out there or universal soul experiences. And then, you know, all this is just fractured, splintered creations of the ego, this ego that is got a lot of fear and guilt for what it did and is just hiding out in lots of different ways. And a great way to do that is to create a body and to project out and to judge other people and to just be so absorbed in this world and in the pains and fears of this world, or to judge other people and their pains and fears, that it just keeps us stuck here. And so the Course is here. And actually, at the time of that separation, the Holy Spirit was basically the sane part of us that kind of stayed as a bridge and as this gentle beacon reminding us to remember home in our minds over and over again.
Right. Well, there you go. In a nutshell, nicely done.
That's at a high level, right? But there's so many different aspects to this, and you can kind of go down little bunny trails and little details about it. Because at a high level, I would imagine if someone heard this for the first time, there's going to be lots of different questions. Because the first thing that I know freaked me out and a lot of people that I knew at the time was sort of like, wait a second, based on that description of metaphysics, then God did not create this earth and these bodies and what we see. And I think that's what freaks people out the most when they hear that.
Mm-hmm. I think that the way I look at it is from the, you know, the notion of that tiny matter. And the quote is, let us return the dream he gave away unto the dreamer who perceives the dream as separate from himself and done to him. Into eternity, where all is one, there crept a tiny mad idea at which the Son of God remembered not to laugh. So I think, to me, that when you read that, remembered not to laugh, that actually tripped me out a lot. Like, what does that mean, remembered not to laugh? And then the next sentence is, in his forgetting did the thought become a serious idea and possible of both accomplishment and real effects. There's that aspect of seriousness that we take in this world that creates judgment, right? Mm-hmm. And that the notion that of the possibility of separation, which is an impossibility, so it's laughable at its very core. But when you take it serious, it was the seriousness of that thought that created the Big Bang, so that everything that you see in this universe, in this dimension, is a representation of separation. So you have separate galaxies, planets, everything is separate. It appears separate on this level that we see it, right?
right.
including, and then body is becoming the ultimate manifestation of this sense or appearance of separation, that we actually appear like we're physically separate when in fact that's impossible or we're not.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, yeah. I do think, though, that it's important is this the seriousness aspect of it, because then we take the world seriously and we judge seriously. You know what I mean? We condemn
exactly.
seriously. What you did is wrong, and it's important that you know it and you're punished for it, and that kind of whole sense of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think what's important to note is that I think as you are exposed to the metaphysics of the Course, which I think will shake a lot of people up, I mean, quite honestly, especially folks that kind of have a belief system centered around, you know, the Bible, to say that everything in the Bible is fact, this is basically countermanding a lot of that. I hate, you know, and for those that hear this, it can be really hard. But I think if you really embrace the actual metaphysics and understanding of how our reality was created, and you realize, well, if I kind of don't try to stick with my belief system and sort of let that go a little bit and realize, well, what the Course is saying is you're at home with God right now. You know, maybe how you got here doesn't really matter as much as just remembering that over and over again. Then you start to relax into it and you realize, you know, the metaphysics of all this, yeah, it doesn't really matter as much. I personally like it. It helped me understand a bit more of why we're here and why we're in the mess we're in and what it takes to get out, back out again. And that actually relaxes me. And yeah, it actually helps you have more of a sense of humor, because you realize, well, geez, I'm making all this stuff up. I'm the one making up all this pain and craziness, of course, at a larger scale. Of course, at a personal level, I'm not creating war, but my mind, my collective mind, is doing this.
Mm-hmm. And that's what they say, the whole, you know, when Buddha woke up, he laughed for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But he just saw the insanity of the whole thing, and it's like he got the joke, the big cosmic joke. Mm-hmm. And then there was this sense. And then, you know, JM and some of the, or John Mark Stroud, and there's these other guys, Rosie Marie, that are, there's whole people that are doing these play shops, they call them, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just getting people to connect into the heart and loosen up, really,
yeah.
right? And feel joy, feel right. fun, feel laughter and lightness, and connecting to Holy Spirit and God through that, through, you know, letting go of seriousness. Yeah.
Yeah, again, I think all of those are great tools, because it just, you know, the Course is always direct, and it's pretty much like be on a path of a non-dualistic path. It's either God or love, or it's ego and fear. But I think sometimes, you know, it's very practical to have stepping stones that get you out of fear and the ego, mm-hmm. and back to God and love. And I think laughter, yeah, is definitely one of those. You know, like laughter yoga is a great tool, because if right. you're all stressed out or just always focused on how bad things are, just laughing in general just help break, you know, break that pattern, which is sometimes needed.
And it's interesting, because you were talking about relaxing into being present, mm-hmm. right? And how the understanding, the mental acceptance of this metaphysics about the Course helps you to relax into a place. But I think you also said at some point it doesn't really matter, or you don't. And I kind of feel like that. At some point, it almost doesn't matter.
Right.
There is this place of bringing presence into exactly where you are.
Mm-hmm.
That when you do that, you are bringing reality into where you're at. The truth mm-hmm. is where you are. Your presence radiates and emanates that through light.
Yeah.
And that transforms everything.
Right. So,
but it's not done through seriousness in that sense of judgment and condemnation, right?
Right. Yeah. That's why, I mean, it's kind of hard to get a sense that the Holy Spirit in A Course in Miracles has a sense of humor, but it's interesting, again, reading the Gary Renard books, you know, it seems like they were saying that, you know, Jesus was a pretty funny guy, had a pretty good sense of humor, and which makes sense because if you realize that this world the ego created, I mean, it really is one big joke because it's based on a really bad assumption, which created all of this fear and guilt. You know, the assumption that I did something bad. I am bad. I tried to do something apart from God, and now God is mad at me and hates me, which is why the Bible kind of doesn't make sense, because there's a little bit of about how God's loving, but then there's stuff in there about how God is judgmental and angry and commands, and it's like, wait a second, that doesn't make sense, really. If God is love, why would God also be judgmental and condemning and having man do these really insane things?
Right.
To prove their love, you know, it's like that just doesn't, it never made sense to me. I know it makes sense to some people, but, you know, hey, to each their own, you know.
Right. But there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. That's in the, right? So that is what Jesus brought, even into the, in the Bible, it's there, that there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus.
Yep. Yeah, which is why I think, you know, part of the metaphysics of the Course is, okay, not only do you realize your reality, which is the ego created it, but it also, you know, it talks about the way out, which is to recognize your brothers and sisters as spirit, which then you recognize yourself as spirit, and then eventually just become that, which is why, you know, the other thing with the Gary Renard books that I really appreciated was the talk about how, you know, Jesus was one of those people that did that, one of, I'm sure, several. And the whole point of the crucifixion was that you have to understand that he just didn't even feel any pain because he didn't even identify with his body anymore. And you know, and then you realize all the movies out there now that focus on him being in pain and crying and bleeding everywhere and the agony he went through. You realize, wow, the crucifixion story is totally different now. It's all about him just being totally okay with it. And that, to me, is even more powerful than someone going, oh, my God, my body's being beaten to death. Look how amazing I am.
Right.
That's still identifying with the body. So the Course's version makes way more sense to me about why.
And I've always taken that as that ultimate symbol or demonstration that there's never a situation or a circumstance or a condemnation and judgment of your brother is appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that's why he said, forgive him. They don't know what they're doing. You know, it's never, there's never a circumstance, you know, in your world and that where you appear to be, where it's appropriate for you to judge and condemn your brother ever. And that's a pretty, hard one or big one to swallow. It actually made me cry when I first read that and started thinking about that, the magnitude of that.
Yeah. Cause I mean, I think, you know, in the New Age world, you know, everyone's, oh, you know, we're all one. But then again, what really grounded it for me was, again, I guess maybe it's because I'm more of a practical person, but sort of you go, wait a second, that kind of makes sense because if the ego, which is just our one mind, it started as one mind, our whole mind, it just started to fracture, then it all goes back up to that one point. And so anything you think about yourself, you're thinking about other people. Anything you think about other people, you're thinking about yourself. Anytime you have a peaceful thought about yourself, you're emanating that peace to others. Anytime you look at others and want to see them in peace or as spirit, you're doing that to yourself. So then it's like, oh my gosh, wow, this is really important. I must do this to heal myself and others.
And then you must look at all of those thoughts. And that's the other thing that happens, I think, where, you know, some people get into, oh, it's just an illusion as almost an escape mechanism, right? But it can help, like you were saying, relaxing into present moment, right? If it does that, that's a beautiful thing. But some people, I think, will take that as almost escapism, right? Oh, this isn't real. It doesn't matter kind of thing. But you have to, how do you return, right? Which is that quote that I was saying. How do you return to the beginning is you have to go, like you were saying, awareness of everything that you're seeing in all of your thoughts that are, you know, generating separation, right? And you have to be able to release all of those. So you have to, so there's that process of undoing, which is all it really is. Is just a process of undoing and letting go. but sometimes that can be a trick too.
Definitely, yeah, which is why, yeah, the other part of this metaphysical story is that, you know, I think we talked about this last time, is that you personally, physically can't do this alone, that your job is to definitely stop yourself and to change your mind and want something different than what you might be going through, which is the fear or the guilt or the anger or the, you know, projecting outwards. So you go, okay, stop. And knowing the metaphysics of this can help, because you go, oh yeah, that's right, this isn't even real. My ego created all this, and I'm just seeing this or doing this to myself, so I do want something different. And that's where inviting the Holy Spirit in to go, okay, I need your help, correct this for me. And you just kind of, then that's another way to let it go and let it heal.
Right. It takes your ego out of the equation, right?
Yep.
So that's the
important trick.
Yeah, the surrender aspect of it, right?
Yep. Exactly. Because, again, you know, because the ego has splintered and it looks like it's a universe and galaxies and planets and billions of people on this earth, you know, it gets tricky, because it's really easy to get caught up and to go, you know, in my case, I'm Scott and I've got this job and I've got this, you know, these family members, and this guy just cut me off in traffic. And you could get just so easily caught up in it, because the ego is a evil genius or an insane genius, right? And it's mm-hmm. It can be very tricky. So that's why you can't really get through this completely on your own.
Right. And that's as you go inside and you see and you start to connect, you start to feel that connection to everyone and everything. And I think that is that seeing the light of Christ in your brothers, right? That
yep.
you start to recognize that we're all one.
Yep.
That we're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
We all, you know, have the same basic common fears or whatever. You start to see people as equal.
Exactly.
And the same, rather than, I think that's a big important step in that whole process of sort of undoing, is we tend to either exalt or condemn. You either yep. see somebody, oh, wow, that dude's great, he's better than I am, or whatever, Jesus is ultimate, or whatever, right? And then you see somebody else as less than. And it's tricky to look at everybody as exactly the same.
Exactly. That's why I think there is an element of fake it till you make it, which is maybe you feel angry about that guy that cut you off or that person that said something kind of nasty in a meeting to you. But if you start thinking with your mind, like, okay, maybe I see this guy or Gail, you know, being angry with me or upset, but if you still repeat to yourself, you are the holy son or daughter of God, whatever you choose, I mean, that's just going to, it will do something. It will change your metaphysical world.
Yes. And then you start looking at, right, and you do that and it gets you through and you go, well, why am I so angry at that person?
Yeah.
You know, and for me, that's where that whole process we talked about last time of sitting with, where's that anger coming from? You know, oh, is it fear that this guy is going to make me look bad and I'm supposed to be in control? Is he undermining my quote unquote authority as a manager? You know, that's mm-hmm. what happened to me a lot was, you know, is this person making a fool out of me? And then where did that come from? And so it would always be, okay, I got angry, but why is that? Not about him, but what about me? You know what I mean? And
yeah.
then I would see those fears and those conditionings and those things, and those are the things. And then sometimes you could see them connected to childhood memories, stuff like that. And those are the things that you're giving up. And as you're releasing that, you feel like a peace kind of come over you. That's what happened to me. It was like, whoa, boom. And then it would be
yep.
gone. Then you could handle that person who may
yep.
still be doing something that you need to deal with, but you handle mm-hmm. it from a place of peace. You can still be strong with them if you need to, but you're handling it from peace. And, you know, you can still handle somebody with love and compassion and still be very strong and clear with them without attacking them.
Yeah, exactly.
Which actually makes you more effective in the world.
It does, yeah. And it links back, at least for me, I realized I had something, a similar realization. And it still is with me. I still struggle with it, which is I have a hard time being wrong, especially, you know, in our work environment. And
yep.
I sat down one day and I was like, God, why does this bother me so much? Why do I immediately kind of get on the defensive or maybe sometimes attack? And I start thinking like, oh, well, yeah, I guess that makes sense that if the setup of the universe is because I felt guilty and fear, and if I feel like I make a mistake, well, that goes back to that initial mistake that I made, which was to, you know, have this separate thought from God. And that's pretty deeply rooted in there. Mm-hmm. And I really want to heal that. And then just remembering, let that go and Holy Spirit come in, you know, heal, please heal this. Cause I'd rather see peace instead of this.
And, those things are deeply rooted on a, family level, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, parents may have, you know, instilled all these, oh, you know, don't you be made a fool of, or don't let them do this, or don't let that happen, right? There's all those kind of family things and cultural conditioning that happens in there.
Yep.
There's a lot of different places where those things can get stuck inside you.
right. That's why, I think, you know, like, you know, I guess you could say that the Western or Eastern like therapies or, you know, like past life regressions, those things can also be very useful because maybe they're going to help you with a family related thing in this lifetime, a past lifetime, but it is going to be healing that original feeling of fear, guilt or shame or, you know, whatever's related back there. But that's what I love about the course. It kind of says, well, I mean, you could kind of play in that. And if you feel like you need to, go for it. But really, if you just keep going back to that source issue, that main separation issue, and looking to heal that, that's going to take care of everything.
Right. And if you look at, and again, we talked about this last time, is like everything that for on your journey that needs healing is projected into the world that you see. Mm-hmm. So your subconscious mind is literally projecting everything into the world that you're interacting with on a daily basis. So what needs to be healed? The things that are triggering you.
Exactly. Yeah. The things that you normally want to avoid.
Right. Exactly.
Or that will make some people want to just hole up in their room. But that's what I love about the course. The course is like, hey, you can be of and in the world and practice all this. In fact, you probably should because it's probably going to get you to a place of peace actually faster. You know, it might be uncomfortable at first because it's, again, the course really challenges a lot of traditional beliefs or thought systems that we've all grown up with or we're even hearing every day in the media or our other family members. But once you get through that uncomfortableness and kind of push through that, it just becomes a lot more easier and easier to apply. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm looking down at, we have a little outline here. Why is there a paradox that God did not create the universe and yet God is in everything I see? What do you think about that?
That one still kind of blows my mind away. Yeah, because if the metaphysics of it says, well, God didn't create everything, but yet God, you know, it is a workbook lesson, I think, right? Where it says God is in everything I see. My brain sort of wants to melt down there. But then I realize, well, wait a second. If we are of God, we are God's children, then of course everything that even we create, which will be imperfect, is always going to have the spark of God in it. So you could look at it from both directions. You could look at it as, okay, this is an ego and I want to remember my place with God. Or you can also go within the illusion and go, there's God there. So as long as you're thinking God, it's all good. What do you think? Yeah,
I kind of look at it as like the whole universe emanates within a field, which is the mind of God. Right? Mm. It's like this, it's almost like a mirage or an emanation within that field, and that field is absolutely not separate from God at all. So it may reflect to us separation, but that's impossible. That's why there's light everywhere. You just don't necessarily see it. And that's why there are people who are called seers who see that light. And that's why in the Bible it says, blessed are those who don't see and still believe. Because if you don't see the light and yet you believe that, you know, we're all connected, that takes a certain act of faith, and that's a blessing to be able to do that. Because once you get to certain places, people actually can see this radiant light that permeates and penetrates and emanates through everything, which is the light of Christ within your brother. So... you know, nothing, it's impossible to be separate. That's the whole illusion, right? That's the,
right.
That's the insanity, that you actually think you could have done something like that. So in the healing and returning of that, you start mm-hmm. to see that. You start to see that internally as a feeling, that love, that feeling of connection, right? And then mm-hmm. At some point, your spiritual sight will open and you literally start to physically see it.
Yep.
That is part of that process of healing. And like you were saying, that is part of that process of undoing. It seems like a process of undoing, but really it's just a process of unfolding, or whatever you want to call it, right? And seeing truth.
Yeah.
And that's that process of bringing light into darkness.
Yep, exactly.
Right. Does that make sense?
That makes complete sense, yeah. I think there's so many different ways to say the same thing. That's
right.
That's what I find really pretty cool about the Course. It is pretty much repeating the same theme and statements, like maybe like really five or six main themes, just over and over again in several different ways. And it still blows me away too. It's sort of like, wow, that feels new to me again every time I read something. And at the same time, you know, it really challenges the mind, because again, there's just a lot of concepts in A Course in Miracles that is counter to what's in popular belief or thought, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be really challenging for a lot of people, you know. Because mm-hmm. again, like I was just pulling up something to say, you know, were we implying that God didn't create this stuff? And it's like, oh, well, no, the Course says it outright. Like there's a quote in the text, chapter 6, God did not make the body because it is destructible and therefore not of the kingdom. I mean, that's pretty direct.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's very counter to what I think a lot of people believe, is that God created all of the stuff that we encounter. But that can be really hard to swallow.
Right. And then something earlier you were saying something that popped in my head, that whole the peace that passes all understanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that the peace that passes is beyond understanding is because it's beyond understanding, you know?
So, yeah.
So trying to figure it out on a certain level is almost like impossible, right? It's like sense of the insanity.
Right. That's why, you know, it's funny that we're talking about all this stuff, but I think we're talking about it so we can get people to experience it and practice it, because that's the only way you're going to shift. You can study spirituality or A Course in Miracles, but until you apply it, it's just words.
And I think that that's actually what happens to a lot of people who are in the Course in Miracles, is they become students of the text,
mm-hmm.
And experts on the text.
Yeah.
Experts on quoting and this and that. And may or may not have, depending on varying levels of actual application in their life circumstances when buttons are hit.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing where the shift happens.
Yeah.
That's the time.
Yeah. And that's where, you know, one of the things I learned early on is you could use anything as either medicine or as poison or a weapon, right? So you could even use a course. You could easily use the course to judge other people.
Absolutely.
But that's not what it's for, which is why practicing the workbook or the lessons is really important.
Right. And taking everything into every single circumstance. And that's why it says that you're supposed to generalize the lessons into every single circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is it's the generalization, the broadening of the application of the lessons, the broader you do it to every circumstance, the more powerful the effect. And that's also why it talks about specialness, right? That you can't have special relationships.
Exactly.
You know, like you might be, oh, I'm at peace in my workplace. I don't ever have issues or whatever.
Yeah.
And you might have a problem with, you know, your spouse or your parent. But everything else is beautiful in your life, but that one thing.
Yep.
And if you kind of try to hold that in isolation and continue to judge that, but, oh, I'm at peace with the rest of it, it just doesn't work. You have to be able to generalize all of it to everything, all of the principles all the time. Mm-hmm. We had a guy in the group who, and this is a while ago, who was like, oh, I can do the course with, you know, everything. I'm at peace in my whole life, except those Republicans.
Right.
And he got into politics. I wouldn't stop for like 15 minutes. Blah, 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 and he just, bam, and he was completely going off. And I was like, wow, all right, there you go. That's cool. He knew it. Mm-hmm. And he didn't even try to do it. It was really funny. But he knows who he is. Well, it was very clear.
Yeah, at least he know, you know, at least he's got some self-awareness, because if you were to just go out, like, let's say on the internet, right? And it just seems like the internet is a perfect tool for the ego, not only because you can get lost in all the information that's out there, but it's given people a way to anonymously just attack people.
Sure, absolutely.
Which is a great way to, you know, open up a YouTube thing and watch how people are nasty there, but also practice forgiveness there and just realize that all of those even fake internet names are just aspects of yourself out there that are in some way projecting out that guilt and fear from the original separation. Right. That's another great way to apply the course, instead of getting sucked in and go, because, you know, I watch how people will attack the person that attacks somebody, and, you know, just keep splintering off from there. It's another, you know, microcosm of what the ego did originally, and it's right there in front of you, and you get to forgive that, just like everything else.
And it's, that's kind of cool, because, like, John Mark does this thing called Waking Up to the Movies, and he...
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of cool.
That is cool.
It's super cool. It's beautiful. He's and Jeshua came through him and told him, go rent this movie. And he would rent the movie, and then he would have him stop it at certain points. He goes, here's what the ego is doing. Here's Holy Spirit in action, blah, blah, blah. And he would describe these movies and from a spiritual perspective. And the point is that since everything is like in the mind, right? And you know how they say in performance with athletes, or high athletes, right? They visualize their winning and all that kind of stuff, right? You're going through this because something that's vividly imagined is as if your body can't tell the difference whether you really experienced it or if you vividly imagined it, right? Mm-hmm. So he's like, if you use a movie, which is a vivid, you know, imagery, and you use the course principles of forgiveness and love and compassion, and you look at those circumstances as if you were experiencing them, but rather than getting swept up and caught up in you're actually releasing, forgiving, and healing, it becomes a tool to accelerate your healing.
Mm-hmm.
Because those buttons that are being pushed in that movie, you know, are your buttons.
And right.
You can work with those the same as if you were, you know, at your job or driving down the road and that actually happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
So he has this whole process of he calls it waking up to the movies. It's a process of using movies as healing.
Yeah,
which is probably what Greek theater did, right? The old ancient Greek theater was
therapeutic. And it's a great way to kind of sucker punch the ego. You kind of like rope-a-dope, you know? It's like, oh, come on over here. This is cool. And all of a sudden, bam!
Yeah.
Forgive. Holy Spirit, God, you know? It's like, whoa, how did I get here? And you got him. Yep.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. Well, I think we're getting close to the end of our show here, and I know we're, I think, you know, we did some good discussion about the metaphysics of the course, and yet I think, again, it's just all about really applying forgiveness, regardless of how we got here, just applying forgiveness, and that's really what we're going to be focused on in the upcoming shows. I think the next show we're going to be talking about the ego in a bit more detail.
Okay.
That'll be fun. Yeah, Sheldon. Okay.
What are we talking about?
What's that? but before we go, just want to remind folks, we have our website, of course, radio.com, and the podcast on iTunes as well. And Sheldon, I think a lot of what we're going to be doing will go towards Arts Unity Movement. You want to just talk quickly about that?
You can go to artsunitymovement.com and check us out. We have a center in San Mateo, California, 149 South Boulevard, and on artsunitymovement.com. And also we have a Facebook page, Arts Unity Movement. You can find out what we're doing. All heart-based activities, artistic practices, drumming, vocalization, so sound vibration. We do an intro to meditation on Monday nights. I'm doing A Course in Miracles on Wednesday nights from 7 to 9. We also have a bunch of workshops that we've got lined up, movement, drumming, art. We're doing vision boarding, all kinds of things that are – those types of artistic practices have been found to bypass cognitive thinking, judgmental mind, and catch you right into to your heart.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's just a different way of connecting to your heart center. You know, meditation and Course in Miracles and thought processes and forgiveness is one aspect of that, and these are just other tools that we found be to be extremely effective in helping people to connect.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool. We've got a lot of cool stuff going on. We'd love to you know, have you join us. So check us out.
ArtsUnityMovement.com.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, well, I think we're going to sign off here, and we'll see everybody in 2 weeks from today.
Cool, cool.
All right, take care, Sheldon.
Take care, Scott.
Love you, bro.
Love you, man.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.